Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
I'm Tom Petsch with Bill Raziel, FDD senior fellow, keeps the Long War Journal, my colleague and co-host. And we're very, very pleased to have Seth Franzman back from the battlefront. Seth is filing all the time for his Jerusalem Post. I recommend following Seth's reporting. And an easy way to do it is to look at Long War Journal, where Seth also posts. Right now, we're turning to Hezbollah. And breaking news, meaning that we have no clarity, but this is Reuters reporting. On these hours from Jerusalem, Israel cannot confirm whether the potential successor to the slain Hezbollah leader, Nasrallah, has been killed, a government spokesperson said. Asked if Israel could confirm the death of Hashem Safi Din, the spokesperson told an online briefing, "We don't have that confirmation yet. I saw your colleague, Jonathan Shanzer, this morning on his report, early in the morning, say that it is possible that number two is gone. It is also possible that the strike aimed at number two, similar to the strike on Nasrallah, using bunker busters and targeting and very, very sophisticated identification intelligence gathering, was also responsible for the death of major leadership in Hezbollah. These are all rumors. I don't ask you to comment on that, Seth. The question is, what else is going on? Because the air war has been in place in Lebanon for some time. It's intensified over these last weeks. But then there's the expectation that the ground forces are the way to secure at least the rocket fields of southern Lebanon. As of yet, there is no report of major combat operations pushing into Baqa. Do we have a sense of what the mission is here, Seth?
I mean, I think we're getting a chance to see it sketched out. IDF has three divisions that are on the border with Lebanon, and each of the divisions has been tasked with very, very limited raids or just along the border. I mean, I was up there last week, and we had a pretty good vantage point, and we could not see a lot of what, you know, looked like heavy clashes or columns of tanks or something. So it does seem that even the pictures we're seeing are, you know, a few villages here and there, and the IDF is trying to bring, you know, go into houses and find weapons and find tunnels bit by bit, quite slowly, quite cautiously, because they are taking casualties every day, which shows that Hamas, you know, Hezbollah is extremely still proficient and has a lot of capabilities there. On the other side of the coin, where Israel has taken the gloves off clearly is in the airstrikes on Dahiyeh in Beirut. That's where we're seeing the big airstrikes all night long, you know, huge explosions, lots of secondary explosions from all these Hezbollah munitions cooking off and airstrikes near the airport. And we're also seeing, you know, attacks in the Bekaa Valley where Hezbollah has a significant presence. Maybe not as heavy as Dahiyeh, but certainly there's been a lot of attacks there. And I think, I forgot the overall number. In the first few days of the air campaign, they said it was around 2,000 targets struck, I think. So we're probably looking at, you know, more than that night by now, 2,500 or something in let's say a week and a half of airstrikes and a week of ground operations. But the ground operations do seem to be very limited, and it's unclear, you know, if they will at some point push in much more heavily, you know, basically to hand Hezbollah a fait accompli of a defeat in two out of the three major sectors that Hezbollah has. I don't see ground forces going into the Bekaa Valley, but I could be wrong. It seems that would be logistically difficult.
Bill, you have a question for Seth.
Yes, Seth. There has been reporting that Iran's Quds Force leader, Ismail Haqqani, may have been killed in the strike that killed Hassan Nasrallah. Israel has targeted Hezbollah's leadership significantly, as well as its forces on the ground. Has this impacted Hezbollah's ability to respond to the Israeli strikes that are decimating its leadership?
Seems like, you know, Hezbollah, prior to Israel ramping this up in late September, the view in Israel was that Hezbollah was, you know, almost, you know, going to be very difficult to defeat, almost insurmountable, because the theory was there was kind of a mutually assured destruction aspect here, where Hezbollah was supposedly able to fire thousands of rockets a day, and they had precision guided munitions that would basically take out Israel's airports and ports and strategic infrastructure. So if we go by the judgment of what did Israel assume was the worst of Hezbollah compared to what Hezbollah has actually been able to throw at Israel since the attacks began, Hezbollah has been able to throw, you know, dozens of projectiles a day, I guess around 150 projectiles a day, of which a few are, some are long range, most are short range rockets. That's not that big a deal in terms of what Israel can handle. So that means that Hezbollah, either it lost significant amounts of its capabilities in those 2,000 airstrikes or targets struck, or Hezbollah just never had the capabilities people assumed it did, because it doesn't have enough mobile launchers or something. It doesn't have a way to deliver the punch that it wants. So it may be a mix of those. I do think when we're looking at the clashes in southern Lebanon, we're definitely seeing Hezbollah able to inflict casualties, I think, on a basically daily basis against IDF troops. And that shows that even without all these commanders, because Hezbollah has lost a lot of its Redwan commanders and lots of others, and Hassan Nasrallah, it's had a significant amount of losses. But it does appear that the actual units on the ground are able to keep command and control, despite having lost basically a whole swath of the mid-level and even senior commanders that the organization had.
Iran fires 180 ballistic missiles at Tel Aviv. They're intercepted. The expectation is Israel will answer. What is your expectation, Seth? What does it feel like now? Is it going to be similar to April, where Israel can demonstrate they can hit anybody anytime and they don't need to prove themselves?
It's a good question. I've learned not to make too many predictions in this war because it is always surprising. But I do think that, you know, Israel has basically openly telegraphed a message that it's going to strike back. I mean, it warned that if Iran did this again, because Iran got away with it in April, basically. And then on October 1st, Iran did this again. I think that Israel was very clear that there would be a response this time. Israel will not be restrained again or told to kind of, quote unquote, take the win. So I would assume once you tell the enemy we're going to do something, if you don't do it, Israel will look weak. So in this region, that matters a lot. Therefore, I assume Israel will do something, but I assume it will also maybe not be as big as some people have predicted, because there are warnings, you know, around retaliate or attack U.S. forces or attack the Gulf. So I'm sure there's lots of high-level discussions going on. I think Israel's defense minister just spoke with the U.S. CENTCOM head and things like that. So there's all sorts of discussions taking place.
Seth Frantzman, the Jerusalem Post war correspondent, Foundation for Defensive Democracy, posting at Long War Journal, kept by Bill Raggio and his colleague, senior fellow Bill Raggio. Seth is the author of the new book, October 7 War, Continuing.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.